Hello. Welcome once again. We are on chapter 3. In the first chapter, we understood about agriculture at a glance. In the second chapter, we saw importance of pricing of agri products. And now we are perfectly set to understand what are the different challenges that are faced by farmers. And when we talk about challenges, this can be both controllable as well as uncontrollable challenges, especially when farmers deal with the pricing of agri commodities. The learning objectives of this chapter is to help you understand various challenges of pricing agricultural commodities. As we have seen in the first preview that we have taken before starting on the first chapter, Chapter 3 is dealing with challenges in the pricing of agri commodities. And we have also understood that these challenges has to be addressed. For a simple reason, a day will come when every country will be measured not in terms of wealth, but in terms of the number of food grains they produce. And if these challenges are not addressed now itself, then it won't take time for not a good image for a country. So friends, this chapter is very important, and we will see not only the challenges in this chapter, we will see various initiatives that are taken by government. And when I say government, it is not just the central government. Various state governments have also taken different initiatives. It's not just governments who have taken initiatives. One of the big problems for the farmers, the rising cost of the agri commodities, is the high rate of interest that they have to pay for servicing the finance. And here comes another important contribution from the apex body which controls finance to the agri sector, that is the NABARD. NABARD has also been taking various initiatives for the growth and development of the agri sector. So friends, this chapter is going to cover all, not only the challenges, but various measures that are taken for controlling this uncontrollable as well as controllable challenges. So let's understand one by one. Chapter 3 will cover various controllable and uncontrollable challenges faced by the farmers and explain why providing support to farmers is imperative in order to produce a quality graded harvest. It will also explain the challenges in the pricing of agri commodities. So let us first start with why agriculture is important. Especially in India, more than 50% of our population depends upon agriculture. Agriculture is the main source of livelihood for over 50% of India's population. The agriculture sector not only provides food, but it also provides the raw materials for the industries. Most progressive nations, including India, aim for providing a conducive environment for the growth and development of the agri sector, because it is not only providing food, but it also provides raw materials for the industries to work upon. And once we have understood why agriculture is important, then we also should accept agriculture can sustain only if the farmers survive. Indian farmers had to deal with both controllable and uncontrollable changes for producing a quality graded harvest in order to get the best price for the produce. If anything goes wrong in agriculture, the entire nation will have to suffer. Farmers should be provided help to produce a good harvest and to generate decent returns, because only then they keep on growing, they will continue in this sector, and the growth will always be on the uptrend. If farmers can produce good harvest, agriculture can sustain. And if agriculture can sustain over 50% of the population who depend upon the agriculture for a livelihood, will find their survival. So let us understand what are the challenges faced by the farmers. The first challenge is increasing farm productivity within the limited arable land mass is the biggest challenge of today's farmers. Because as we see, because of the fragmentations and the division of the farmland within the family members, the per size of the land is going on diminishing with further fragmentation of the farmland, and out of that, whatever the land a farmer owns, he is supposed to create an output which is not only going to provide for his self survival, but based on that he also needs to create revenue by selling it to the market. A massive population has reduced the per capita land and water resource. Many farmers are still using old agricultural practices, because of which there is low productivity, increase in wastages. Crop yields are lower than the best crop yields available on farms, but farmers are required to manage the farm produce with the ever increasing Indian population. At no point of time, farmers can decide to produce less. The demand is increasing, the farmers' production also is required to increase. Losses after harvest are higher due to inadequate infrastructure. As we see, whatever produce that is generated till it reaches the consumer, a lot of wastage happens, which otherwise could have fetched good income if that also could have reached the right hands. Due to the smaller land holdings, a small farm has to bear all the working members of the farmer's family, which in turn creates disguised unemployment. Not all members are required for the farm, but since all the members are within the family, they all have to work, and that actually dilutes the manpower, and that actually is called as a disguised unemployment. Illiteracy, social backwardness, mounting pressure due to the default in paying the farm loans due to the droughts and the floods has also worsened the farmers' problems. So what comes in the way for creating a good harvest? We have understood the farmers' problems. Now let us understand what comes in the way for creating a good harvest. Number one is irrigation facilities. Not all regions are equipped with irrigation facilities. Number two, inadequate timely agricultural credit at a cheaper rate. Because when we talk about cheaper rate, that has to be factored into the total pricing. If the farmer lands up in taking a capital at a higher rate, then he'll have to price his agri products also at a higher rate, and that may not be saleable in the market. So here comes availability, requirement of availability of capital at a cheaper rate. Inadequate rehabilitation insurance in case of droughts and crop failures. Quite often we see in the news sudden monsoons or sudden snowfalls. Untimely monsoons, untimely snowfalls have destroyed the crop which would have been coming in within few days and going to the market. But just because the spoilage has happened because of this untimely monsoon or the snowfalls, the farmer is not able to send his harvest to the market. All these are coming in a big way, especially the marketing arrangement. In spite of having a good harvest, if the harvest, the produce is sent at the right time to the market, then only it would fetch good value. For that, you require an excellent transportation, you require an excellent storage facility. So if that is not proper, then it can come in a way of creating a good price for the harvest. So friends, these are very systematic way of understanding. First of all, what are the problems the farmers faces? What are the problems faced for creating a good harvest? Farmers are also required to sell their produce at a low price. Because of lack of good sufficient storage facilities, then whatever price they get, they have to sell it to whoever comes in front of the way. Not all places have excellent marketing facilities. And in which scenario, because of a sheer fear that whatever he has may get spoiled, he has to sell it to whoever comes in his way. And then he may not have a bargaining power to sell such crop produce, which otherwise could have fetched a good value if there would have been excellent marketing arrangements. So, if we have to go further on understanding what are the reasons responsible for the farmers getting lesser price, we can also add increasing cost of cultivation, heavy input cost, inadequate grading mechanisms for farm products, limited use of farm mechanization and climate resilient technology, inadequate, cheap and efficient transport facilities, which unnecessarily causes the delay in transport of farm produce at the right time, at the right place, inadequate marketing facilities, inadequate cheaper finance and rehabilitation programs in case of floods and droughts. So this can be a summarized reasons for farmers getting lesser price. Some more can be added to this list. Like most of the farmers' money is locked in the farm, because only when the harvest comes they will be able to capitalize on it, and because of which farmers generally require some more finance, and this finance has to be taken at a higher rate, which again needs to be factored into the total pricing. Good quality seeds are not available at all places, especially for small and marginal farmers, and if at all they are available, they may be available at a higher prices. Soil losing its strength and resulting into low productivity because of not taking care about improvisation of the soil. Inability of small and marginal farmers to store their farm produce and wait for a good price after harvesting their crops. Price volatility in global markets and imports at a cheaper price. All this actually are responsible for farmers getting lesser price. So what are the impact of various factors of pricing of agri commodities? Now let us see a mix of all. First of all, the monsoons. Monsoon at the wrong time can spoil a good crop and create shortage of food grains, an increase in the price of the crops and reduction in the farmer's income. Every abnormal increase in temperature due to global warming can cause destruction in the crops. When we saw in the last chapter, we saw different factors. Some crops may require a warm temperature, some crops may require a cool temperature, and whenever a geography actually is into a different temperature because of whatever reason, say global warming, that won't be good for the crop to grow. If farmers don't adopt improved and modern methods of farming, they would not be able to generate the targeted output and utilize the government incentives. More demand for food grains due to the increase in the population and rise in prices due to the shortage in production than the target output can surely cause price volatility and also inflation. Wet droughts have eaten up good income which otherwise could have been earned under normal conditions. We have seen recently this phenomenon happening in certain regions of Maharashtra, wherein the wet droughts have eaten up the harvest. The untimely monsoons have totally spoiled the crops that were about to be harvested and sold in the market. So there are some more factors responsible for pricing of agri commodities. Like there is a weak direct linkages between the farmers and the consumers. Lack of sufficient storage facilities have resulted into substantial wastages, which we have seen, which otherwise could have fetched good value. Small and marginal farmers suffer due to servicing costs on the farm loans, small produce, weak economic conditions, and low holding capacity to produce. They are suffering more than the big farmers. If the farmer has to use own assumptions and not produce crops as per the government specification, then the minimum price or the best price may not be available. Subsidies may not be granted by government because the farmer has not complied with the requirements, with the conditions required to be fulfilled by the farmers. So there is always a danger of doing something on its own and violating the conditions imposed on the farmers for claiming certain incentives. If we have to see, in spite of such challenges, the government doing anything, yes, the government is always eager to support agriculture. Government has various ways of providing technically sound projects, economically viable projects, environmentally non-degrading. So government is always eager to support all this. Only thing, one has to take it with through the proper channels. A farmer who says that he's having a technically sound, economically viable, environmentally non-degrading, socially acceptable, encourages cultivation of untapped growth, strengthens rural infrastructure, encourages agriculture research institute for growth and development of agriculture and enhancing value of crops, can surely get assistance from government, and the government will implement all its policies for providing all possible support for such farmers who work within such frameworks. And for that, government has its own way The first and the important way is the national policy for farmers. The national policy for farmers provides a holistic approach to development of farm sector. It aims to achieve economic well-being of the farmers and boosting the productivity of the farm sector. The legislations are enacted for consolidation of holdings. Some states have been very aggressive. It's an enacting almost some states to tackle the problems of fragmentation of land holdings. Because in the current days, the biggest problem is fragmentation. If there is some way or the other wherein the fragmentation doesn't happen, the holdings are consolidated, then all together can come together and see, ensure that better productivity is sustained. The minimum support price is an excellent example of the courage and the confidence that government has to support the farmers. It encourages the farmers for initiating the price discovery mechanisms in the mandis for quality and graded crops. It gives more bargaining powers to the farmers for their farm produce because they are assured about a minimum price in spite of the production more than the estimates. In case of excess production, the procurement of excess food grains are done by government agencies such as the Food Corporation of India, the NAFED, and this results into stabilization of prices. There doesn't happen any dilution to the price which a farmer should have got. There is a provision for high quality seeds to the farmers. So a farmer may not be capable of doing research, but here comes the government initiatives. Through its agencies, it provides high quality seeds to the farmers. The best example is in the form of National Seeds Corporation and State Seed Corporations. They enable provision of high quality seeds to farmers based on various agroclimatic zones at the right time and place and at an affordable price. High variety programs are planned to increase the production of food grains. All kinds of seeds are provided to the farmers. For example, a breeder seed, which is a basic seed required for the first stage in seed production. Another example, foundation seed, which is the second stage in seed production. Third example is a certified seed, which is the final stage in seed production. So all types of seeds are provided by government to the needy farmers. There are also incentives to farmers for using chemical fertilizers. Some governments have given incentives to farmers for using chemical fertilizers to prosper in agriculture and using the biocides in order to save the crops and to avoid losses. When you talk about biocides, it includes your pesticides, it includes your herbicides as well as the weedicides. We have various examples of replacement of traditional and inefficient implements. Uses of agricultural implements and machinery is specially encouraged for multiple cropping. So, gone are the days when a farmer is involved only in one type of farming. The same land can be used for multiple cropping. Some states have also facilitated replacement of traditional and inefficient implements by the improved ones, such as the power tillers, the tractors, the combine harvesters, the irrigation pumps, and increased power availability for carrying out various agricultural operations. Here comes a special help from the government. Here again, a farmer may not be equipped to understand what are available across a better implement tools for the agricultural sector. So here the government machinery actually does that work and takes initiatives in replacing the old ones with the new ones and the powerful ones. Government is also providing storage facilities to the farmer near their fields. So this has become a boon to store their farm produce, not to make a distressed sale, not to let the agri commodities wasted or spoiled. Government has also ensured the soil health card and the neem coating of urea to reduce the input cost. So lots of initiatives are being taken by the government for helping farmers. Sometime back I said it is not only the government but the apex financial institutions are also supporting farmers. The best example is the NABARD meeting the credit needs. NABARD meets the credit needs of all types of agriculture and rural developments by providing short-term, medium-term, as well as long-term credits. It also maintains research and development fund to promote research in agriculture and rural economy. We have various regulated markets to save the farmers from the middlemen. Government has introduced regulated markets to save the farmers from the middlemen and to eliminate malpractices. Farmers can make their cropping decisions based on the price discovery mechanisms and based on the commodities that are traded on the commodity exchanges. Information of price helps the farmers to get best practices prices for the traders. Farmers are able to understand which crops to grow. Government has also introduced the commodity futures in India based on recommendations of various committees like the Khusro Committee, the Dantwala Committee, the Kabra Committee, etc. Such efforts have resulted into competitive buying, efficient price discovery, speedy settlement of disputes, risk management through future exchanges. And in addition, some buyers also entered to buy forwards involving physical delivery. So it's not that just because your exchanges have been established, everything happens through the terminals, the physical delivery is stopped. Those opting for physical delivery can also have that type of trading done. There are various reforms done in the Model Agricultural Produce and Market Promotion and Facilitation Act 2017. For example, private capital in agriculture is encouraged for creating more competition in order to enable the farmer to get better price for his farm produce and reduce his dependency on the minimum support price. So government is doing, yes, a better work for the farmers for ensuring a minimum support price. But this can be also useful for the farmers to take another view on this. The National Project of Soil Health and Fertility. This is a special scheme deployed by the government. This focuses on strengthening of soil testing laboratories, because whenever any soil has to be tested, it has to be done by experts, it has to be done by institutions, and when this is actually established by the government, then nothing like it. So this National Project on Soil Health and Fertility focus on strengthening of the soil testing laboratories. It promotes use of integral nutrient management and it encourages the balanced use of fertilizers. We have different government schemes named on certain great personalities of our country, like the Pandit Deendayal Upadhyay Unnat Krishi Shiksha Scheme. This scheme is aimed at providing agriculture education to students to make their career in agricultural field. It increases the rural literacy and increases the rural non-farm employment and income generation. So whoever is actually involved in agriculture can find newer ways of revenue generation. So the massive dependency on agriculture can come down and people may find different ways of creating employment and revenue. The multiple income sources are helping rural farmers to mitigate some of the risk associated with agriculture. Next important scheme we have is the Rashtriya Krishi Vikas Yojana. This ensures holistic development of agriculture and allied sectors by allowing states to choose their own agriculture and allied sector development activities as per the district state agricultural plan. So this is the freedom given for the state to choose their own activities in agriculture. Agricultural plans for the districts and the states are based on agroclimatic conditions, availability of technology, natural resources, local needs, and this makes farming a remunerative economic activity, because whatever is suitable for that region, whatever resources that are available for the region can be deployed effectively. And this gives a great scope for growth in that particular region. The National Project on Organic Farming and the Paramparagat Krishi Vikas Yojana. This is aimed at promoting the organic farming practices, which is the new buzzword. More specifically, in the cities, people like to have organic foods. So this scheme actually promotes generation of more and more organic foods, organic farming practices amongst the rural youths, the farmers, and even consumers and traders. This scheme aims to produce agricultural products free from chemicals and pesticides residues by adopting eco-friendly, low-cost technology. It disseminates the latest technologies in organic farming, and this is actually provided to the farmers or those who are involved into organic farming. It promotes participatory guarantee system to certify their organic produce, label and market their products domestically, so that whoever deals with it is assured that this itself is an organic product. It utilizes services of experts from public agricultural research systems in India so that whatever findings, whatever recommendations, whatever suggestions are actually circulated are coming from experts for the betterment of all these who are involved with organic farming. The National Mission on Horticulture, like we see organic farming is free from chemicals and pesticides, horticulture is also a very important branch of agriculture. The National Mission on Horticulture provides growth of horticulture covering production, post-harvest management, processing and marketing to assure appropriate returns to the growers as well as the producers. It promotes the R&D technology for production, post-harvest management and processing. This requires special care because it's no good that you just produce horticulture in the form of vegetables, fruits, etc. It needs to be properly preserved. It needs to be properly transported. And there has to be modern sophisticated mechanisms to do all that. And for that reason, you require various research and development technologies, which is provided by the National Scheme of National Mission on Horticulture. It enhances the acreage coverage and productivity through diversification from traditional crops to the plantation and the orchard. So it finds out various other alternatives wherein the growth can happen, where the revenue can increase. It assists setting up post-harvest facilities such as the pack house, the ripening, the chambers, the cold storages, the controlled atmosphere storage, etc. It adopts a coordinated approach and promotion of partnership, convergence and synergy amongst R&D, processing and marketing agencies in public as well as the private sectors. The National Mission for Sustainable Agriculture. This is yet another scheme for the betterment of agriculture and the farmers, specifically meant for enhancing the agricultural productivity, especially in the rain-fed areas. The 10 key dimensions encompassing the Indian agriculture that are taken care of by this particular mission are improved crop seeds, livestock and fish cultures, water use efficiency, pest management, improved farm practices, nutrition management, agricultural insurance, credit support, markets, access to information, as well as livelihood diversification. Yet another scheme, the Deen Dayal Upadhyay Swaniyojan Yojana. It provides skill sets for self-employment to the rural masses. It gives incentives to rural poor pursuing for self-employment. It provides financial assistance to self-employed or poor rural entrepreneurs, and it is supported by innovative credit linkages as well as Mudra Bank loans. So here you get a cheaper finance for different categories of people who are involved with agriculture, and financial assistance is also provided through the self-help groups, popularly known as the SHGs, and to private entities. The private entities are roped into to provide entrepreneurship opportunities. So it is not necessary that only the assistance will be provided from the rural side. There are experts from the private entities who are roped in to ensure that whoever are connected with this scheme gets the best private as well as the public enterprises, knowledge, skills and abilities. Then the Deen Dayal Upadhyay Gramin Kaushal Yojana. It aims at providing entrepreneurship opportunities for rural youth between the ages of 15 and 35 from the poor families, and plays an instrumental role in supporting the social and economic programs of the government, like the Make in India, the Digital India, the Smart Cities, as well as the Startup India. Such opportunities encourage the rural youth to stay connected with the micro and cottage industries in the villages. And the best part of it is discourage distress migration of rural people to urban centers in search of jobs. This is one big thing that needs to be controlled, because there is a massive migration from rural to urban, which actually populates the urban areas and it creates a vacuum in the rural areas. And this particular scheme specifically helps those in the rural to stand on their own, to learn skills because of such education and knowledge provided, as well as it doesn't put pressures on the urban sites because of such migrations. The Pradhan Mantri Kisan Samman Nidhi, popularly known as the PM Kisan, has provided a great boon to the farmers. This scheme is specifically aimed at providing an income support to the landholding farmer families, irrespective of the size of the landholdings, to supplement their financial needs for procuring various imports related to agriculture and allied activities, as well as domestic needs. The farmer doesn't have to look anywhere because the requirements, whatever the bare minimum requirements that he requires for selecting his imports, for making some sowing for his own livelihood or for selling it, can be done from this money. What is given by the government? Under the scheme, an income support of rupees 6,000 per year is provided to the farmers' families across the country in three installments. Each installment is of 2,000 every 4 months. So that's how timely assistance is provided. Every 4 months, a farmer can do the minimum thing that are required for sowing his seeds or putting some in, getting some inputs, by which he doesn't have to go anywhere else searching for money. Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana, it's one of its kind, a very big scheme of insurance for the farmers. It was formulated in line with One Nation, One Scheme. So there is no need of looking at different schemes, just one scheme that is being implemented across the country. It aims at providing support sustainable production in the agricultural sector by way of providing financial assistance to farmers suffering crop loss, damage arising out of unforeseen events. It also aimed at stabilizing the income of farmers to ensure their continuance in farming. It encourages farmers to adopt innovative and modern agricultural practices. It ensures the flow of trade to agricultural sector, which will continue to food security, crop diversification and enhancing growth and competitiveness of agricultural sector, besides protecting farmers from the production risk. So here we have seen the challenges, various measures taken by central government, the state government, the assistance provided by NABARD. Now we also have to understand the WTO agreement on agriculture, because India's agri-produce may not be only sold into Indian markets. It will be surely sent, and India is one of the leading country who exports its agri-products, various agri-commodities. So when we consider exports, the WTO agreement comes into the picture. The WTO agreement on agriculture has taken steps to reform the agricultural sector and covers the market access, the domestic support, as well as the export competition. The market access, under the market access, the use of trade restrictions such as tariffs on imports are covered. Under the domestic support, the use of subsidies and other support programs that directly stimulate production and distort trades. In case of export competition, the use of export subsidies and other government support programs that subsidize the exports are considered. Next, we have to consider a very, very important dream of the government of converting the farm's income or doubling the farmer's income by 2022. The central government has made grand plans to catapult India into a $5 trillion economy bracket by 2024. The Union Budget 2019-20, presented in the Parliament of India on February 1, 2019, has laid down the measures to realize the vision to make India a $5 trillion economy in the next 5 years, a $10 trillion economy, and in the next 8 years itself. So the target is $5 trillion economy in the next 5 years and $10 trillion economy in the next 8 years. So this is a major, major dream to realize. Central government has also made plans to double the farmers' income by 2022, by the year of India's 75th Independence Day. And this is a big, this would be a big celebration in the form of doubling the farmers' income. And it will bring a strong rural economy with a holistic approach. So friends, this is a very, very grand plan to catapult India into a major economy across the globe. It is being planned by ensuring that the main constituent of our economy, the farmers, the 50% of the population are depending upon agriculture. If their income is boosted, if their income is doubled, automatically it will achieve our grand plans, our country's grand plans of growing into a 5 trillion economy as well as into a 10 trillion economy. The strategy platform that is built is on the four concerns: sustainability of production, modernization of farmers' produce, restanding of extension services, recognizing agriculture as an enterprise and enabling it to operate as such by addressing various structural weaknesses. So these are going to be the four basic concerns for deciding the success of the policies and the plans. Our Honorable Prime Minister has already given 7-point strategy to double the farmers' income. The first point is the big focus on irrigation with large budgets with the aim of per drop, more crop, the provision of quality seeds and nutrients based on the soil health of each field. The third important point is large investments in warehousing and cold chains to prevent post-harvest crops losses. The fourth point is promotion of value adequation or value addition through food processing. The fifth plan, the fifth point is creation of a national farm market, removing distortions and e-platforms across 585 stations. The sixth point is introduction of new crop insurance scheme to mitigate the risk at affordable cost. And the seventh point is promotion of ancillary activities like poultry, beekeeping and fisheries. So it is a very, very carefully crafted plan, a 7-point strategy which focuses on irrigation, the quality seeds, warehousing and cold chains, food processing value additions, national farmer markets and eliminating the distortions, new crop insurance schemes, as well as promoting ancillary activities. So in all, agriculture as well as allied activities will also prosper. And this is a real a fantastic plan which is coming in the form of 7-point program of our Prime Minister. The policy to double farmers' income plans to increase India's agricultural exports to $60 billion by 2022. The top agricultural exports are in the form of marine products, basmati rice, meat, spices, regular rice, raw cotton, oil mills, sugar, castor oil and tea. To which countries are these exports happening? The top exporting countries are US, Vietnam, Iran, China, UAE, Bangladesh, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Indonesia, as well as Nepal. Various methods which can boost Indian agriculture based on the plans we are having, based on the incentives, based on the current condition of agriculture as well as the farmers. Using scientific methods of cultivation and multiple cropping for maximum production per unit of land. Increasing irrigation facilities and giving more attention to climate change. Protective crops from insects and the pests. Use of modern machinery and equipments. Provide adequate credit facilities at minimal rates with flexibility in repayments. Widening and deepening of market infrastructure to help the farmers to sell the produce at better prices. More land reforms for land consolidation. Setting up modern agricultural research institutes. Trade agreements aligned with operational effective measures. These are just a few of them, but a lot more can be included into this list with a basic objective of boosting India's agriculture. India having a varied region, multiple cropping system, different types of crop grains. So for every specific aspect, there has to be a customization. So this general list won't suffice. And based on the requirements, new initiatives are to be designed, which will result into boosting the overall Indian agriculture. So friends, we finished chapter 3 with this. We'll continue with chapter 4. Thank you.